When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's the Capital One Cup semi-final second leg review show. Oh, that's right. The Football Ramble in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. Gentlemen.
Yes.
Jim's here.
Hello.
Gentlemen, Jim's here.
Yep.
Luscious Luke is
pleased
here.
Pleased to be here.
All right.
And punctual Peter's here.
No, I'm never punctual, no, but no. Hello.
Right, the semi-finals are over for another year in the Capital One Cup. Not much happened until the last gasp efforts of those playing at Old Trafford. If you could rename Old Trafford this season, what would you call it, Jim? Well, this season and going on, maybe.
Yeah, and going on. Obviously, I assume we're not allowed to call it the Theatre of Screams.
No, we've had that.
Everyone's already doing that.
We coined that. Everyone else nicked it. Cheers, all.
Probably.
No one else could
always
have
that.
Possibly come up with that.
Absolutely.
I mean, we spoke about Pitbull being really important in football, and now he's doing the World Cup song. So,
yeah, so
is he actually?
Yeah, trendsetters. He is. Uh-huh. So we don't even know.
Like I said on the last show, setting the trend with a mix and a blend.
Indeed, you did. What I would do is I would sort of try and update the history of Manchester United by renaming the stadium in a very current way and calling it, and you have to say it in this accent, the Al Ferguson Loser Dome. Because obviously the shadow of Alex Ferguson is looming large anyway. Just put
Ferguson.
It in. Al Ferguson, yeah.
Take
just
away
Americanize
the
it a bit. Yeah,
and then take away two letters of his first name.
And Loser Dome speaks for itself.
Well, if you're going to bestow a title upon him, Duke is more American than it. So Duke Al Ferguson.
Duke Al Ferguson in the Loser Dome.
Yeah. I mean, Alex Ferguson will be furious about that. And next time I phone him on 999, he will. He will be furious.
More on that in a little
while. Even though United actually won the game, that's still a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. The Al Ferguson Loser Dome. Sorry, the Al Ferguson Loser Dome. Mm. Luke.
I normally fastidiously prepare notes for this part of the show, but I forgot this week, so I've come up with the David Moyes Club of Tears.
For the stadium, though? The Club of Tears.
You'll have your go in a minute.
Don't worry. The club is not the cement. The club is the people.
Yes.
Don't worry. Spoyer Robson once grabbed that.
Pete, he won't win the points with that.
First rule of the David Moyes Club of Tears. You do always cry.
You always talk about tears.
Second rule.
We're really seeing how much you need to put the work in here, aren't we?
The second rule is you always cry.
Yeah.
And the third rule is you must at all times completely insist that Phil Jones is a good player.
Yeah. This is Luke more unscripted, ladies and gentlemen.
Luke's on a go slow, it seems. Good.
Get this on the the best of bits.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. The best of the Capital One Cup shows, good.
So what was your answer? The David Moyes Club of Tears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll do. It's an answer, and that's all we hope for.
Yeah,
Marcus.
Pete,
it's a few sentences out of the way.
All joking aside, you heard me.
Yeah. Go on, Peter.
I would rename Old Trafford to the Oh My God, play Shinji Kagawa through the middle stadium.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's
the title.
Pete, you forgot about the question as well, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Marcus, reprimand us.
Well, I can't.
Pull our little reins that we've got.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm not having that then. Think of something better.
Yeah,
now.
There you go. Thought of something
No, you
better.
Haven't thought of something. Think of
what
something.
What did you come up with?
He's not had his go yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Marcus, you have your go and let them think about a better, more sensible answer.
That's pressure on Speller, isn't it? Good.
We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking Lold Trafford.
Get out.
Get off your high horse immediately.
Two laughs there. You're still hurting from what I said to you. Or New Trafford.
I like that. Yeah. That's a good one. Okay. New Trafford's a good one.
Simple
because
and sweet,
Peter. I thought about calling it... I thought about suggesting the United of Manchester Stadium.
I just quite like New
that
Trafford.
That's better. Yeah, you should have done that.
Just call it the Trafford Centre.
There's already a place.
City of Manchester?
People would turn up to the wrong place. That kind of thing. City of Manchester?
Yeah, the City of Manchester Stadium.
It's, that name can be used now, can't it?
Yeah, or the Etihad. Just see what they do.
Etihad. Winning was a fad.
Move this on.
Yeah. The City of Manchester Stadium, now it's even more like a Morrissey song because it is more bleak.
Okay. We'll remove that and then we'll come back to you. What's your answer, Pete?
I'm fine, thanks. Carry on.
No, you're not having one.
I was busy getting involved with your answer, and I didn't have time to think of one. So
okay.
I don't know why I'm
so this is my fault, isn't it?
When Luke Moore came up with nonsense as well. Why am I being singled
out?
Luke's
just staying quiet, which is a new tactic from him.
Very new tactic.
But it's working very well.
Yeah, that's true.
I should do this more often.
I think we're all agreed. Yes. Jim's got the points.
Well, of course he has.
That's a hollow victory for you, Jimmy.
It really is.
And the only reason why it's a cup competition, so you advanced to play me in the final.
I cannot believe I've won the points with the Al Ferguson loser done.
Marcus is like Danny Zuko in the Karate Kid 2 or 3, whichever one it is, where you only have to play the final.
That's Danny Zuko?
What did I say?
Danny LaRusso.
Danny LaRusso. Danny Zuko's Greece, isn't it?
That'd be a good fight, the two Dannys.
Would.
Greece Dojo.
Oh, right then. Let's get this one out of the way. West Ham 0, Manchester United 3. What a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, emphatic, wasn't
Clean
it?
Clean sheet away from home, 3 goals. They'll be well pleased with that.
Big Sam apparently said in his programme notes, if the semi-final was over one leg, they would have, at Upton Park, they would have a chance. I disagree with that. I actually disagree.
Because they lost 9-0 over 2 legs.
Yeah. That's such a pointless thing to say.
It really is, isn't it?
I mean, keen listeners will note that Marcus actually said Manchester United just then.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. So maybe I deserve some points.
All right, well, it looks as though there's going to be 3 of us in the final. West Ham 0, Manchester City 3.
Yes.
I've done enough of my predictions now for future seasons. And Negredo scored and Aguero scored.
Yeah, as is just normal now, isn't
assured.
It? You can sort of just assume that will happen before each match.
Manchester City scored their 104th, 105th and 106th goals.
Against West Ham.
What was amazing was that West Ham was 6-0 down. And, you know, City were clearly going to go through. But West Ham actually seemed to coast through the game more than City did.
I know. I thought that. My first notes I made was that, like, within 3 minutes, I mean, obviously City scored in 3 minutes. I watched that goal again on the replay, and Clichy picks up the ball in his own half. No one gets near him. Mm-hmm. No one even bothers going near him.
Yeah. They've got their own battles.
It's the first few minutes you think, okay, about 15,000 have turned up or whatever, you know, at least give them something. It's fair enough and absolutely acceptable that there are other teams better than you, but there's no excuse for not trying as hard, working as hard, being as fit, all that sort of thing. And, Clichy coasts into their half, he knocks it out wide, ball comes across, and I don't know how you guys feel, but Negredo headed, it was like a training ground, there's no one near him. There's absolutely no one there.
There was a sea of boos immediately because they were just so, like, can you imagine how angry you'd be if you were one of those 15,000 that turned up and they're trying that little that they've conceded from the first attack in like the second minute without putting a challenge in?
They did get a goal disallowed though, didn't they, quite early on?
Well, they did, yeah. But I think Nolan knew that was going to be disallowed from the way he took it very nonchalantly.
I was a little bit disappointed that there wasn't an overhead kick or some kind of spectacular volley. Because surely Manchester City must have thought, right, headers and volleys.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Well, they did header, actually.
They obviously, I know it sounds a bit disrespectful, but, I mean, they did it, and I'm just pointing it out. They just played within themselves. They played like a team who thought, you know what, we've got some important games coming up this season. Mm-hmm. Let's play at a nice pace. Didn't really bother getting out of second or third gear, and West Ham let them do that. Mm. And for me, if you're playing against a team, undoubtedly as talented as Manchester City, of course, if they're playing like that, there's no reason you can't get a goal or two or push them. You know what I mean? Mm. And I'm not saying Man City couldn't have then stepped up again, but at least give them a game. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
It was almost, I do, but I think the psychology of it is it's so difficult if you're a West Ham player to be anything approaching bothered. And I know you think, well, hang on a minute, 15,000 people turned up or whatever it was, and that should make you a little bit bothered. And of course it should, but it must be so hard. And also, you know, the manager might have said to them, look, lads, take it easy. We've lost. Don't get injured. Don't pick up a silly injury.
Don't get completely destroyed once more.
Yeah. Mm. Don't get a booking. Oh, there's no danger of that happening anyway.
Yeah, right.
Generally, though, I thought out of the whole team, I thought Andy Carroll set himself up quite well. He was all over the place.
But Andy Carroll can
use
that.
In the best sense of the word.
He can use that to
get back to fitness. Yeah.
And I think if you're a player like, a player who's maybe not potentially starting every single game for West Ham, and they've got a relegation fight on their hands, use it as a put yourself in the shop window. You know, at least you can say, look, you know, here's what I did. They've all got the stats and stuff. Allardyce loves all that stuff. At least you can then show the manager that you really put it in. You deserve a place in the team. Yeah. I know it's hard psychologically to lift yourself, but it's a game of football. Well, take it as a one-off and try and win it.
I think that a sports psychologist would probably just give up at the point. Can you motivate these players? Because, I mean, it's really difficult. They probably go, yeah, I'm probably not going to take that job because that's hard.
Negredo's second goal was, again, a classic example of the demotivation and kind of almost lack of effort we were talking about earlier, because he basically just ran down the pitch. There's barely a challenge put in. It reminded me of when you're rubbish at FIFA, as I am, so to just sort of regain a bit of confidence, you play a friendly game on like the lowest setting just to remember how to score. And they don't even move, and it's really easy. And it just looked like that. I'd rarely seen a goal so sort of casual.
It reminded me of when Marcus and I went on this FA training thing.
I thought you were going to say when Marcus played for the Ramble.
No. Oh. And we would go for these exercises, and at certain points they would say,
"You wait for." B license,
whatever it was. There at some points they would say stop, and you'd have to look at your position and you have to learn where you should be. And it was almost like it was such a training ground move that you think, well, they just let them do that because they want to try and work on a move or something. It's really odd.
Yeah, it was strange.
I mean, the thing is though, I mean, West Ham's personnel at the back aren't good enough. I mean, they don't score enough goals, obviously. But I mean, if you're looking at it, was Roger Johnson. I mean, it's a shame Winston really isn't here because he's probably their best defender. But Roger Johnson in there, James Tonkins, are they good enough to keep a team in the Premier League? I'd say no. Matthew Taylor playing out of position, stupid. Mm. Razvan Rat is obviously very experienced, but he's got his own faults as well, and he's probably in, you know, certainly not at the beginning of his career, put it that way.
Yeah, it's just incredible, isn't it, that the second leg of a semi-final in the Capital One Cup is being used as a training exercise by one team
because they're so good.
Yeah,
it's not the fact that it's not the tournament; it's the other team.
No, that's what I mean. Like they've hammered them so badly. The second leg, it's not even a case of, oh, could it be one of those one in a 100 kind of nights? This is not Fulham v Juventus, for example, or Deportivo versus Milan or something like that, overhauling a four-goal thing.
I think Man City still played, they still gave West Ham a certain amount of credit in the personnel that they chose for that particular football
match.
I think they could have been arguably just went, right, bring the kids in, but they didn't, they played it. And
I liked that on what you said, Marcus, that apparently a betting shop had an advert in the window. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Said, they have those things, West Ham to win so-and-so, praise this amount. Yeah. It said, like, West Ham to win 7-0. wins the keys to this shop. Brilliant.
A friend of mine used to work in a betting shop and would get very bored there, and he once put as the bet in the window and had to ring someone up to get the odds for this. I think it was Middlesbrough 6, Everton 3 with Frank Quadrue to score first.
What did he get price?
Like something like millions to one.
I used to work in a betting shop, and I would know that the keys to the front door don't really mean a lot because they've got a safe.
Yeah,
that's so true. You know, it's big talk from the guys at the betting shop. But
keys
I don't
the shop. Yeah. Yeah, they've not specified which keys. Yeah.
Toilet keys.
It's a dig, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a dig, either way.
Very much a dig. But I think it was, to be fair to say, it was a very professional win from them. It's something Pellegrini keeps saying about them, that, you know, when they've had a lot of games, or when it's a game like this where, you know, they're expected to win, they could easily have conceded, you know, or made it quite difficult for themselves in a way, in the actual game itself. But they didn't, did they? They just got on with it. They won comfortably, job done, onto the next one. They are not dropping their standards for a moment.
It's even more frightening, isn't it? Than the reaction to the first leg. Because, as you say, for a game where they could have played these players, or they could have taken it easy, whatever it is, they went out there and they won 3-0.
I also really enjoyed how chuffed, clearly, Pellegrini was to manage at Wembley. He said in the post-match interview, "I've never managed at Wembley before, so great for me." And so, obviously, he took it very seriously, and it's a big thing for him, you know. And, of course, people are talking about them winning multiple trophies, but he may not get another chance to play at Wembley this season.
And it was good to see so many Man City fans there. Fair play to them.
Another great thing that City have their advantage as well is this kind of battle between Sergio Aguero and Alvaro Negredo to see who's going to finish as top scorer.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, right.
Nobody's going to lose that particular battle, are they? Because they're all going to score 40 goals.
Everyone wins.
Everyone in sky blue wins. So that was the first one out the way. The second one, Manchester United 2, Sunderland 1. It was a little bit more lively, of course.
That was a bit tighter, wasn't it?
But my goodness.
Proper cup tie.
We had to wait. Brilliant. We had to wait, ladies and gentlemen. excuse me. United started the better, of course, and had a few chances in Welbeck and co. Nearly got the breakthrough, and it was Johnny Evans who scored. Mm. And there was a feeling of, OK, Manchester United surely now will go on to win this. I mean, I think it was Barini had a great effort from Sunderland. Yeah. There was a funny moment, actually, when the Sunderland fans were cheering the passes for their team awakening.
Olays.
It was like 15-20 minutes in. And it was a nice move, and it ended up with Barini hitting one just over the bar. Which...
It's the kind of thing you get at the Loser Dome these days.
I'm pretty sure I read that Sunderland had a lot more possession. They certainly seem to. I watched the game, and they certainly seem to have a lot more. And I know people were sort of implying that most of the action took place in the final few minutes of extra time, which, you know, is probably true. But it was still pretty...
Yeah, it was.
It was an interesting occasion, purely because of the stakes that were on it, you know what I mean? As we've said before, I mean, Moyes, that competition, or this competition, means a lot more to a Moyes Manchester United team because he needs to get off the mark and stuff. Mm. And I mean, it's impossible. I had a human, almost instinctive sort of reaction when I saw Moyes when they lost. Just felt so sorry for him because he's under a lot of pressure.
Even the
he looks so sad. He looks upset. He just looks really sad.
And to be fair, I mean, those penalties were a disgrace.
Well, let's talk
about
penalties.
What can Moyes do there?
Well, let's talk about the penalties. Let's talk about the game, because Manchester United, they were 1-0 up, and they had, you know, a few chances. They had a bit of pressure. They couldn't make it count. And then Sunderland came back in, and it was...
There was so much room in the middle for Sunderland to just they weren't even passing around. They were just sort of going on a bit of a wander. I've never seen there be so much space and so little pressure on a side playing against a Manchester United side.
But the pitch at Old Trafford has never looked bigger. And they were coming forward, and you thought, blimey, just it only takes a goal. And of course, in the Cabot One Cup, the goals count after extra time. The United are certainly cursing that.
Yeah.
And it went into extra time. And again, United looked fairly comfortable. They started getting on top, and Hernandez missed a good chance, didn't he? Mm. And you thought, okay, maybe. And then towards the end, the pressure really started to crank up. And Sunderland, with their first shot on goal...
United slayer.
On target.
The first shot on target. They had about 18 shots before that.
Well, they had shots at goal, but it wasn't on the
goal.
OK,
fine, yeah. Okay.
And De Gea, oh my goodness. Yeah. And it was just like... surely things cannot get worse. Funnily enough, they did.
But at that point, though, we thought that Chicharito had dug De Gea out of that goal.
Yeah, then they go up the other end, and you thought, oh, hang on a minute, this is Manchester United. Yeah. Of course it is. Mm. Like, even when they're down in the doldrums, that fighting spirit of coming back with the goal, I thought he was going to hit it over the bar.
He nearly missed that.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah. But do you not think that United, I mean... Sunderland had a lot of the ball, especially sort of early on. They had a few I was getting quite frustrated with them because they had a few chances to get the ball into the box. They just didn't do it. And I thought, I know Poirier likes his teams to keep possession and stuff, but I mean, you're at Old Trafford in the Cup semi-final. If you get the ball, there's players in the penalty area.
Yeah.
If you get the ball on the wide, put it in the box.
Got Fletcher in there. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And they weren't doing that to start with, but they sort of eased their way into the game. And for me, I know it sounds like I don't know if you guys agree, but and United had more shots, of course, and they had chances that they spurned. But Sunderland seemed to be making all the running to me. They seemed to be sort of pressuring and calling the shots a little bit, moving the ball around quite nicely. United is so overly reliant on Januzaj. The problem with that is he's obviously a great player, and he will go on to great things, I'm sure, but he's too young to be relied on that in that situation.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And the reason for that, I think, is because he makes wrong decisions too much. Now, obviously, he pulled out of the bag for their final goal, where he pulled it back and Hernandez scored. There's a couple of decisions where he just shot when he shouldn't have done. Mm. He wasn't really... You know, I mean, it's what you expect because he's only 18.
Yeah, it's youthful exuberance.
Yeah, absolutely. But United just relied on him so much. Mm. And it's a little bit of a mug's game to do that. And let's be honest, he played 90 minutes against Chelsea. And now he's played 120 minutes last night. Yeah. What's he going to be like at the weekend? You know? And then Martin Tyler was saying, at that age, you can play every day. You can't. Not at that level. There's no way. You'll be completely burned out if you play.
It's like going in for work experience and then suddenly the manager disappears. And oh, God.
I've got
to do everything. Yeah. I don't even know how to work the tills.
Yeah, well, like with Liverpool, with Raheem Sterling, there may have been other factors that I
Michael
know.
Owen?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just rely. You can't Torres. Tell me Januzaj can play at the top level 40 games a season. It's ridiculous. Mm. And he shouldn't be expected to either.
Yeah.
I think Sunderland responded to going 1-0 down very well. They didn't panic, did they? They just stayed calm, stuck at what they were doing, and they almost let United confuse themselves and took advantage of it.
Mm. Barnsley really wanted it, didn't he? You could tell. I mean, I saw him interviewed afterwards. Obviously from Salford, ex-Man United player. Apparently, he was wrestling with Key to get a penalty and stuff.
Was he?
They were just so keen for it. Yeah, yeah. And then you didn't really think many United players looked that up for it.
Absolutely. I mean, Chicharito got himself injured, didn't he, in the, I think, scoring the goal, so he couldn't take a penalty. But I wonder why, you know, it's...
Do you reckon he actually was injured?
Well, that's what Moyes said. I'd be surprised if he'd bottled it. He doesn't seem that sort of player. Mm. But United just look like a team that can't get the job done, regardless of what that job is. They had so many opportunities, even after what we discussed earlier, leading up to the penalty shootout itself. They had a chance to win it. Mm. And
you'd fancy... I mean, you've really... Chicharito, you've really got to be hitting the target for me. Mm. I mean, you don't get... I mean, he's also a player who's used to coming off the bench, used to getting a few chances and sort of... That's how he's made his reputation, really. Mm. In a way, but like Solskjaer, he'll take a chance. He'll get a chance and he'll take it. And the reason he'll only get one or two is because he only plays for about 10 minutes sometimes, you know. Mm. And for him to miss the target by that distance, you wondered at that point whether it was really their night, you know.
Well, it just wasn't. I mean, at the moment, Manchester United remind me a little bit of Arsenal when they sold a couple of players, and it was a few seasons ago. Was it their centenary year? They had the bigger badges on the shirt. That's what I'm thinking. Black and white away, black and blue away kit. Mm. And people were getting so frustrated with Arsenal, saying, "What's the matter with them? Why can't they win? Why can't they've got some good players?" And it's kind of like, "Yeah, they have, but they're actually, if you look at those players, you're looking at the shirt. You're not looking at the players in that
absolutely.
Shirt.
Absolutely.
And if you look at the Manchester United team that started, Welbeck's a good player. Yeah, Januzaj's got great promise. Hernandez is decent. You know." That is a far cry from what we've been used to seeing.
Yeah. But again, as we've said before, there's Rooney and Van Persie to come back.
Yeah.
And absolutely. It looks like they're going to sign Mata. That's not done as we speak. I mean, if yesterday's anything to go by, they'll probably keep dropping the pen and just getting locked out of the room where the contract is, losing it, setting it on fire, so much so that the transfer window will shut and they won't get him. But if they do manage to bring him in, then obviously that's a huge addition.
Even my dad sent me, who doesn't even watch football, he's never liked football, he even sent me a Manchester United pen, Mata signing. Joke.
Oh, right.
Like, oh, thanks, Dad. Thanks for that.
Is that right?
Now you get involved. I could be good at football.
Their crisis has transcended the sport. Is what
it's gone mainstream. I'm against it.
It's mainstream Schadenfreude.
I agree with you, Mark.
Everyone's piling on.
I think the only positive from that lineup in terms of reliability, I mean, De Gea's been having a pretty good season despite his error, is seeing Fletcher and Carrick back in the midfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing two actual midfielders in the midfield for them. Yep. Provided them with a bit of a fulcrum, and obviously Fletcher's not fully fit yet, and he will become fitter in time. But you wonder, I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to pick on people individually, and that's unfair to sort of judge Januzaj probably at this stage. And as Jim said, Rooney and Van Persie are both unavailable. But like someone like Raphael, I mean, he had great promise, and people were raving about him. I just don't think he's reliable enough.
Yeah, he's a liability.
I don't think he's strong enough. I don't think his temperament's good enough. I just think he makes errors of positioning. He loses his head, as we saw against Chelsea, and he's done that before. You know, I mean, it's one thing for... I don't know if you guys feel the same thing, but it's one thing for if you're someone like Raphael who comes in, you've got a lot of promise, you're obviously talented, and you come into Man United and you're surrounded by brilliant players, and they can get away with having him in there. Maybe sometimes he makes an error, but he generally plays well because he's got great players around him. Yeah. Take some of those players away, take the manager away, you know, and all of a sudden it's a lot harder for them. Yeah, it's a lot harder for players like that. And I just think those players maybe show flashes or good quality moments, but they can't consistently be relied upon, or the manager's not motivating them enough. Maybe I don't know. It certainly seems very strange.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you look at the back line with Smalling and Butner as well, left back, and Jones.
Mm. Which I mean, I don't.
And Raphael, they're good players, but that's that kind of older head or more experienced person to be
again,
in there.
Vidic being out is unfortunate in this situation. But then it's his own fault, isn't it?
Vidic this season. Yeah. Mm. I mean, there's a lot there. But I mean, what about the penalty shootout itself? It was spectacular.
The Jason Puncheon School of Penalties.
Sunderland beat them 2-1. 2-1.
Some of those penalties make Jason Puncheon's penalty look good purely because he actually struck the ball properly.
Yeah.
Jason Puncheon struck that ball like a Premier League football player. Yeah. As in, no, we can all laugh how high and wide it went, but no one in this room could strike the ball that well. Yeah. No one could kick the ball that hard. And so he just had a bit of a funny moment where it flew off direction. But in terms of striking the ball, I mean, Phil Jones striking
the ball... When you hit the ball that hard, if you get the angle ever so slightly wrong...
It's like a golf shot, isn't it? It'll just fly.
But people try to curl it into the corner like a free kick.
Curl it into the top corner. I mean, you'd look at that score, you'd say they won 2-1 on penalties and think that they were allowed to have walled. Like, it's just...
I couldn't even work out. I watched it about 5 times. I couldn't even work out what Phil Jones was trying to do. I
mean, he's trying to hit those stewards.
Yeah, well, he hit someone in the face, didn't he? He hit someone in the face. Like, properly smacked him in the face. I think
I'll
that,
give you gurning.
A couple of tweeters have pointed this out to us. Pete Selby was the first to do it, so he gets the credit. He said, if you look at Phil Jones's standing foot, you know, I mean, obviously not everyone's a professional footballer, whatever, but you are taught at a pretty young age, put your non-striking foot next to the ball.
Yeah.
That's like page one stuff. You get to like under eight. Mm. If you look at the replay of Phil Jones striking that penalty, his foot is about 2 feet behind the ball. His body is like a 45-degree angle leaning back, and he doesn't even strike it properly. It only just sort of goes over, sort of floats over the ball. It's literally one of the worst penalties I've ever seen.
Yeah. But then Januzaj didn't really give himself that much help because he didn't really do a run-up. He just sort of, it was like a five-a-side penalty.
You're trying
it?
To be too clever, I think.
Even Darren Fletcher's penalty, which he did score, wasn't a good penalty.
Well, it was in the corner.
It was right, but positionally,
but no, got a hand to it.
I mean, Moyes, you know, he was a very different footballer than Gus Poyet, but can you imagine Poyet, who's quite a technically gifted footballer, just going, you absolute idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
On both sides,
and I'm wearing a personalised snood.
even Moyes, though, you can imagine a player like him, if you are given the responsibility to take a penalty in a penalty shootout, he thinks, oh, blimey, I've not got a spot to pick, and that can be quite confusing if you go up. You think, oh, I'll go that way, oh, should I go that way? And you end up hitting it in between the post and the centre of the goal, which are the kind of nice ones for the keeper to save.
Yeah.
That's where your confusion is. So you think, I'm just going to hit this as hard as I can.
But Jones didn't even do that.
No, this is the thing. Yeah. If he'd have belted that, and it'd have, as I say, we said we're punching, you get the angle slightly wrong, and shoom, it flies over the bar, at least you can see what he's trying to do.
It wasn't like, you know, Roberto Baggio in the final of the World Cup going, well, Taffarel Lex him on the floor, so I'm going to print it to the roof.
Yeah. Or Diana Ross.
There was no Diana Ross. If only the goal had split at this point.
Look at the classic example of people who've taken stick for bad penalties, and the biggest one by far is Chris Waddle. And his penalty was about 3 inches over the bar.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
And he shouldn't have even taken it.
Right. I just can't see how what they're trying to do. I think this sort of hypothesis falls down a little bit because Januzaj is a very technically gifted player, but he's still very young and inexperienced, so maybe that's got something to do with it. But I firmly believe the reason England are poor in penalty shootouts is because when the pressure hits you, when fatigue, pressure, those external influences come upon you, it's a solid technique that will get you through.
Yes.
And the first thing to break down when you have those sort of external influences making it hard for you, if it's like I say, fatigue, pressure, that sort of stuff, a slight injury, your technique will suffer. Mm. And it's the ones who've got the best, most solid technique that will score. And that's why players like Marcus Alonso, Key, scored. Because they struck the ball so sweetly. And Marcus Alonso was always going to score that goal.
And Key was always going to score.
There you go.
Those two penalties, you look at them, they're proper penalties. Mm. And it would have had to have been a good save from the goalkeeper. The way the run-up, the way Key sort of side-footed into the corner, you were watching that penalty, you were going, what on earth is unfolding in front of my eyes here? And he scored, and you went, oh, yeah, sort of penalty.
That's how you do it. I mean, away from how bad the penalties were, it was incredibly entertaining. On one of the earlier shows, Capital One Cup shows in the season, I said I hope we see a sort of decent penalty shootout. Yeah, and I wasn't expecting that, but it was brilliant. Yeah. Thrilling.
Interesting enough, as you say, Luke, all four Englishmen who took penalties all missed in that Welbeck, Jones, Gardner.
And Adnan Januzaj wants to play for England.
You can't miss five.
He doesn't really want to play for England.
No, he doesn't.
He's got the skills.
Yeah.
He's got the penalty skills.
What can you say? I mean, like, Jim, you say you wanted a good penalty shootout. I think the great thing about penalty shootouts is even if they're really, really bad, sometimes that makes them really good.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
So the quality of a football match can sometimes, you know, but with a penalty shootout, you're always in for a bit of drama. But well done to Sunderland.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bloody well done. They've knocked out Manchester United, Chelsea, Southampton, most notably, on their way.
So they'll fancy it in the final, given the scalps they already had.
Well, they'll go for it, you know what I mean?
They've beaten Man City four times at home in the league in the last four seasons.
How about that?
And was it last year, maybe the season before last, they drew 3-3 at City. Yeah. It's a great game.
Was it last year?
Yeah, I forget. It might have been the season Bentner was on loan at Sunderland.
Right.
I think they drew 3-3 at the City Manchester Stadium that season. Yeah.
I remember the one, was it last season or the season before last, when Key scored? I just remember the commentary. Yeah. They had were battered.
Yeah. He was offside as well, wasn't he?
but I mean, also, City will want to kind of make up for the FA Cup final last season.
Well, I was about to say that. I was at the FA Cup final last year. I can't remember if you guys were, but City were abject. Absolutely terrible. Now, I know they've got a new manager and a few new players and stuff, but they lose a modicum of concentration, Sunderland will punish them.
Yeah.
And they've earned their right to be there, for sure.
Just before we move on to a little bit of correspondence, just a word to Manchester United fans. It is depressing at the moment. I understand that. But whatever the state be, you do not phone the emergency help services in a time of crisis in football. I say this because the Greater Manchester Police issued a statement on their Facebook page. I like how they got a Facebook page. They said, last night at approximately 10:30 p.m, a man from the Crumpsall area of North Manchester rang 999 in a drunken state, demanding to speak to Sir Alex Ferguson about last night's result. He's retired.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't got to get another job.
He also doesn't work for any of the emergency services.
And never has.
It's not like the bat phone.
No.
999.
I mean, they said that the AA was like the fifth emergency service. What emergency service is Alex Ferguson?
Yeah,
like 305, isn't
he?
Yeah.
He's retired.
He's gone.
Uh-huh.
He's gone. Well, that bumps him down then, doesn't it?
Yeah. True. I like it how they went on to say, obviously it can be sad and depressing when your football team loses a game. However, we all please remember that the 999 service is used for emergencies only.
I'm genuinely worried about if that's the stage it's got to already, how Man United fans in general are coping with this, because I've supported Portsmouth my life. And I tell you what, I've never thought about ringing the police.
No.
And so if you're dealing with it this badly already, imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years' time.
You're in control, but not the police.
Yeah, previous as well, there's the guy who called the police when Nanny got sent off and reported it as a crime.
Yeah.
But I mean, United fans.
See where he's coming from there.
Yeah, United fans laugh at Liverpool fans being over the top, and they're going the same way themselves.
Let's use those two examples to generalise.
It's almost like all football fans are as bad as each other.
It's exactly like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nonsense. Well, let's see if they are. Luke, bit of correspondence.
Yes, I've got some tweets here and some Facebooks from people who've told us their highlights of the round. Now, Mark Owen's come in. I don't think it's that one. On the Twitter.
Can we assume it is?
Okay, yeah.
From Manchester?
Well, that's not his name, though, is it? Mark Owen, rather than Mark Owens.
No, he's actually
Mark Owen. Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So
X, take that. So, no, they're still going. So take that guy,
take
Mark
star.
Owen.
Yeah.
He says...
Unless that's an exclusive.
The foreshadowing to the World Cup as five Englishmen, including Adnan, all missed their penalties. Yeah, we talked about that.
Was Stephen Fletcher, is he Scottish? Or is he
Scottish, very much Scottish. Sorry, yeah.
I was getting me Fletcher. The
he had a bit of a bust up with Craig Levein and was out the squad for a while, but I think
that's
he might be back in the fold now. Luke from the Twitter says, Phil Jones penalty that smashed a fan in the face. We obviously discussed that. Dave Shaw comes in on the Facebook and says, just want to let you guys know, Brian McDermott said it's the worst day of his life. Jamie Kennedy says, will we please discuss Kevin Phillips' suit?
Yes! Mm.
Now, this,
I'm glad someone said that. It's reminded me.
Let's get to the real issue. Because this was a disgrace.
Yeah. It was Lionel Messi-esque, was it not? You see him with the Ballon d'Or.
Yes. Mm. So Lionel Messi, because of the character and the player he is, seems to get away with some quite bad clothes.
Mm.
But when Kevin Phillips does it, it's not the same, Kevin. You can't get away with it.
There is nowhere to hide.
But Kevin Phillips has had a very good career, but still...
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Football Shorts comes in and says, I haven't listened to the Football Ramble in 8 weeks in preparation for a 28-hour flight to New Zealand. Don't let me down, lads. That's going to end badly.
That's a highlight of the round?
That's a lot of...
Please answer the question next time, okay?
William Owen says, I'm a West Ham fan, and I'm pleased that we've only got to score 10 in the third leg.
Well played.
Daniel Goodfellow on the Facebook, I'm too excited to come up with something funny or some sort of contrived ramble in joke, which are the only jokes we like.
A little bit rude.
Sunderland are in a cup final, and I'm ecstatic.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He's just happy to be there. And I'm going to end with this
which
sums up beautifully from Mick Richardson on the Facebook. Just scenes in the away end. Unbelievable, unspeakable scenes.
I cannot describe.
Must have been bedlam in there.
Yeah.
It must have been
they're still in there, mate.
Yeah.
On mobile, they're still in there.
It's like the last days of Raw. Yeah. People are in sex.
Okay, some of the fans, you can leave the stadium now. We don't want to.
Yeah.
We'll stay here to the next game.
There's still West Brom and Newcastle fans, isn't there?
Yeah.
They're all there.
Everyone's having a massive picnic.
That away end is slowly but surely getting bigger.
Yeah.
They'll be the home end.
Like a fungus.
I would apologise to Man United fans, but you've had your 25 years.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't quite 25 years there at the top.
Nearer than it was for most of us.
That's true. That's very true. Dear, oh dear. Well, talking about Old Trafford, that leads me on neatly to say make sure you visit Facebook.com/Capital1UK, where you can get involved in competitions and debate around the cup. And the competition that has been running on the Facebook page is Grounds for Improvement.
New name, for example.
Yes. this competition allows fans to submit a photo of their ground along with an explanation of why it needs improving. Perhaps chuck out all the away supporters that are building up at Old Trafford. And one ground will receive £75,000 worth of improvement, with 10 other runners-up getting good amounts as well. So there we are, chaps. An incredible end to the semi-finals. We look forward to the final. And a part of me thought, I would have quite liked an All-Manchester final. But then, the way it panned out, I thought, oh, no, I'm really looking forward to seeing Sunderland at Wembley.
Because there's a bit of previous with Sunderland and City this season already. So.
Yes, indeed.
Lovely old job.
That was, of course, a Football Ramble in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. We'll be back after the final, which is on the 2nd of March.
So round up the whole compo.
Damn right, the whole compo indeed. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.